David McCaslin points out that a New York Times article linked the increase of computer storage with the decrease of data in the human mind. In other words, our electronic aids now remember phone numbers and driving directions and other information that we used to learn by repeated use. In schools, memorization and oral recitation are disappearing from a lot of schools' curriculum. We've become, according to the Times article, products of a culture that does not enforce the development of memory skills. And yet, never have we as followers of Christ, my friend, been in greater need of hiding God's word in our hearts, remembering his word, that we can draw it up from memory, according to Psalm 119, 9 through 11. Scripture memory is more than a helpful mental exercise. According to the word of God, the goal is to saturate your mind, to saturate my mind with God's truth. You already know what truth does, right? The truth shall, that's right, set you free or make you free. So the goal is to saturate our minds with God's truth so that our lives will conform to his ways. The psalmist wrote this, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your ways," Psalm 119, 33 and 37. My friend, have you considered to begin, if you haven't already begun, committing Scripture to memory? Daily consistency, review, these are keys to our success. And just like physical exercise, this spiritual discipline is enhanced when it's done with a small group or with a friend. We've got to remember and follow the life-giving wisdom of God's word. Somebody has put it this way, God's word will change your life if you will do your part to read, to study, and obey, and hide it in your heart. Listen to what the writer to Hebrews would say in 4, verse 12. "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." And 1 Peter 1, 23 and following says, "We have been born again." My friend, let me stop there. I know that a lot of different people listen to this call every day. Have you been born a second time? That is to be born of the Spirit. Having been born again, Peter would say, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. My friend, as we go to prayer today, remember that we've got to let the Bible fill our minds, rule our hearts, and guide our very lives. And Heavenly Father, your word is truth, and truth sets us free. Lord Jesus, you declared yourself to be the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through you. What an incredible claim to be the only way to the Father. I pray for those listening in today, Father, that have a hard time believing that, that they would recognize that that's either the greatest claim ever made or it's the greatest lie ever made. I pray, Father, that you would open our spiritual eyes to your word is truth, and that in that process of hiding your word in our hearts, that we would be set free. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.